You're listening to the UCB Long Form Conversations podcast, in-depth conversations with performers and teachers from the best alternative comedy theater on the planet. This podcast is modeled on the improv form La Ronde, so the guest of our last episode becomes the host of this episode, and today's guest will become the host of our next episode. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center.
Warning. What you're about to hear is an extremely nerdy conversation about long-form improv comedy.
Welcome to the UCB Long Form Conversations podcast. From Los Angeles, I'm Matt Apodaca. I was the guest on the last episode, but today I'm the host. And my guest today is Nina Concepcion, who improv fans might know from Zuzu, Destiny's Stepchild, Aretha Franklin, and Beach Ghost. Hi, Nina.
Hello, Matt.
How's it going? How are you feeling today?
I'm good. This is the first thing I'm doing today, and it feels like a good way to start the day.
Great. I feel like I was on the other side of this not that long ago, like mere minutes ago. And now that I'm on this side, I feel like I'm doing like a host voice.
Right.
And that's not how I talk. But so, Nina.
Yes.
Like I said, you're on the Herald Team Zuzu.
Yep.
You're on Destiny's Stepchild, Aretha Franklin, Beach Ghost.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, I guess, how, let's just jump right in.
Let's do it.
You know? When did you get started over here at UCB, and like, what was that? Mm-hmm. Like, what was that? You're also a writer. Like, you do all sorts of things. I guess what led you to like improv?
Yeah, it's interesting because I went to college at NYU, and so like freshman year, I stumbled into the UCB theater there in New York, but I had no idea. I was in acting, in the acting program. So I didn't do I didn't really know what improv was.
Okay.
I did it in scene work. They would have us improvise, but it wasn't, I don't even think they called it improvisation.
Right.
I didn't even know that I wanted to specifically be a comedian or do comedy. It was like acting. I've always wanted to be an actor, like my whole life. So then I literally just stumbled into the theater and was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I don't know what this is, but I became obsessed with it. I don't even think I ever knew what it was until I like left
started doing
New York.
It again. Yeah. That's wild.
It's funny because I remember seeing like Ruben Williams or Ruben Starship. I forget. It had like everyone on it. Eugene Cordero, Kate Spencer. Yeah. Joe Wenger, and just watching them every week, being obsessed. And like, and then I, when I realized I wanted to move out to LA, I knew that there was a theater out here. And in my head, I was like, great, I'm going to pitch them a show and get to perform every week.
Right.
So it was really, like, just really thought that was going to happen.
And you're from Philly, right?
Yeah.
You didn't do any comedy there,
None.
Like, at all?
No, theater, truly a theater geek. Didn't really understand. Like, I always, like, comedy came natural to me.
Yeah.
I always was in more comedic roles. I loved making people laugh.
Yeah.
Hit the mic.
No, please.
God, I need to control myself. I moved out to LA and knew there was a theater, so I knew I wanted to take classes, which I think it was interesting because I moved out here and, like, literally, I didn't have an apartment or a car, but I signed up for 101.
Yeah.
I barely had a job. Like, it was just, like, such a priority that I'd take the program. And I'm so glad that I did. Because it, you know, it kind of inspired and put me on this path that I'm still on. And, like, influenced my entire life.
That's so great. And so, like, do you take things you've, like, learned in improv and apply it elsewhere, like, in terms of, like, I mean, because you're a writer, too, right?
Yes,
like,
I do write. And I think it makes me a better writer, for sure.
Uh-huh.
It makes me a more confident actor, just, like, doing auditions and stuff. I think for anyone that is an actor and an improviser, it helps inform that and your confidence. And I don't think I'm as afraid to fail anymore as I was, because you fail so much in improv.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Yeah, you just kind of get over it, right?
Yeah.
You're just like, all right, whatever.
I remember being so scared starting out doing it, but chasing that high of, like, having a good show, getting laughs. Like, I don't know that I necessarily remember the bad stuff as much as I remember those highs. And I try to focus on that because it's really easy, I feel like, to fall into the negative or, you know, thinking like, oh, I suck at this. Or like overanalyzing that one move you made over and over.
Yeah.
I try lately, especially on Herald Night, because it's hard. You get in your head and you're up there and you're like, you're being watched every week and it's hard. Yeah. It can kind of get you in your head. I've started to just collect these like nuggets of like moments where I've just felt like a fucking champion.
Yeah, absolutely.
At improv. That's and just important. Like kept them for myself to remember.
That's great. Yeah, it is one of those things. I was just talking to Dave about this actually. And he asked me, I'll ask you this because I thought it was an interesting question. Mm-hmm. What is something that like you thought, like, because you've now, Zeus has been a team for 2 years and you've been on for 2 years, right?
Yes.
I guess, I guess because he asked me this from like a first year, like a first year held team person. I'll just ask the question.
Yeah.
I guess what something that when you started was like challenging for you and that you've seen like grow or change, like gotten better, and what's something that you like started off good and has continued to be great, this is like something that I think that's how you phrased it.
Okay. Yeah. I think immediately what I found was hard was trusting my instincts and that I belonged up there. And I've talked to other people about that. But I was so fortunate to get placed on a team with like people that have been on Herald Night for years.
Yeah.
And then also a few of us, it was our first year. So it was this a beautiful like mix of like, we're like so bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and also people that have been through it and have gotten kicked off teams and then brought back on. And, kicked off sounds so hard. I mean, cut, not kicked off.
Physically removed.
That sounds so mean.
Yeah. Exiled.
Yeah, exactly. So I think immediately I was like, oh, fuck, I don't know if I belong here. I feel like I started second-guessing all of my moves.
Yeah.
And then I really had just learned to trust my instincts. And I think it goes back to that not being afraid to fail, like trusting my team and trusting in like what makes me a unique performer and my voice in improv, which leads me into like what I thought helped, what I think is like what I'm good at in improv is having honest reactions that tumble out of my mouth. And not even truly understanding where they, you know, just like saying it very naturally. And I feel like that's something I've kind of embraced about my style of improvisation.
I'll say, I saw your show on Monday and it was really, really great. But like the, even like in the opening, that like, that skill that, the opening is great. Like you guys have such a fun opening because you it's fun. like a character painting on, right?
Exactly.
And so what you guys you're painting on as this guy that was like looking for a new wife. And I remember I don't remember what the exact line was, but I remember it was just like so like it didn't even seem like it just seemed like a natural response. It just came like fell out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't like a thing that you were like, this is gonna really, really hit. It was just like, here's the thing. And it was just like, that's something that I would say about you as a performer is that like you are like, there is like a sort of a natural like air to it where it is like, there's not, you're not forcing anything, which I think is great. It's good to be that in an element. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's something I think I was scared of at first or didn't know how I could use that to be good in a Herald. The Herald form is kind of, I think that also was hard on Herald Night because I'm such, game gets me in my head and I'm not like a mathematical person. I'm not a heady person. I'm an emotional person. I love doing scenes with big emotion, organic. I could do organic scenes and organic Heralds all day long. Yes. I love them.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if a lot of people do. But so I think I would getting in my head about game, like, oh, I don't know how to play game. I don't even know how to label the game. I just want to respond. But like learning to utilize that feeling of like in the element, having a natural response, you can still play game and find game.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's really an interesting thing I've learned being on Herald Night.
Yeah, and, that's like, Dan Lippert is our coach on DiCaprio, and he's always telling us to just like even like add like non-comedic information because like that's like, going to be so helpful to just get you to the next thing or whatever.
I love it.
I think that's something that is like you bring a lot of like specifics to like the work, and I think that's important. I will say. Well, let's see. What's the next thing we're going to talk about? I want to talk about a big topic, but I don't.
Yes.
I mean, do we just get into it?
Like, let's get into it. See where you know.
So we're two of the four Latinos on Herald Night,
it's
right?
It's insane.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think I looked it up recently.
Yeah.
I think Jess Eason is the only, she was the only Latina ever on Herald Night
really?
In LA. Because Jesse Esparza had said, like, I think you're one of the first Latinas that got on Herald Night. And I looked it up and I was like, I think Jess Eason was. I believe she was on Herald Night. Edit it out if not. But I think she was.
You gotta cut it out if it's not true.
But it's wild.
Yeah, it is crazy. It's funny because I don't know how you feel about this, but I'll say, like, for me, that's not something that I ever thought would be very important to me, but it is. It really is. And, like, I don't know, I guess maybe it's, if you could speak to, like, if you felt any, like, pressure in that regard, or if that's, like, informed, like, your, like, presence on Herald Night at all.
I think definitely it's interesting because I've always... My identity as a Latina, it's always kind of been like an identity crisis, you know? I don't look, like, people don't know that I'm Latina. It's hard. I don't speak languages. Spanish is my dad's first language, but he never taught us.
Yeah.
So I've always kind of felt like an outsider looking in, and, like, I can't own or claim that, you know, culture.
Yeah.
Because I feel like an imposter. But then I moved out to LA, and Ryza, your teammate, asked me to be on Geraldo, which was an all-Latino improv team.
Right.
And that, I credit her a lot for, like, giving me confidence and being like, you're a Latina voice, you are one, and you should own it in improv and comedy, and you shouldn't be afraid of it.
Yeah.
So I think being on Geraldo for so many years and kind of being like, okay, this is who I am. It's not that I ever was afraid of claiming it or owning it or, like, speaking up for the issues. It's like it's like an identity crisis every day.
Yeah, we're the same in that regard then because, like, I don't speak it. In a group of Latinos, I seem like the white friend, or in a group of white people, I seem like the Latino.
Yeah.
So it is just, like, a weird, I don't know where I belong sometimes. But it is interesting because it is just, like, there are only how many people on Herald Night? Like, less than 60.
Yeah, not that many.
Yeah, so, and I know that, like, in the community in at large is a sort of a larger, like, like, white population, which is fine. And, like, that's, but it's just, you're going to run, there's four of us currently on.
When you say it, the statistic, it's a little, like, holy shit, you know? It was really cool to be part of that, that Latino showcase at the theater. And
that
just
really clicked in for me as well.
Yeah. I mean, because I remember when I first started coming to UCB in 2011, I mean, there was, like, it was almost all white people on stage on the Herald teams. I think of all my favorite Herald teams, and they're so amazing, but you didn't see people of color.
You don't notice something's wrong, or not wrong, but something's off until you see, like, the other side of it, where you do see, like, a person of color, and you're like, wait a minute, why are there so few of them?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting, and it's cool to see it, and I hope it keeps growing.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
And I think it will.
Yeah. Has there been, I don't know, not a sense of, like, pressure or anything, but, like, because there are so few of us, has there been, like, I gotta lead by example, like, or something, like, that you've felt at all? Like, you were saying, there's, like, an imposter element to whatever, but
I think it's not so much a pressure as just, like, I am so grateful for this opportunity, and I love, I've been asked to coach a few, like, all Latino teams a few times, and even just that experience is so cool. I would hope that it's just, like, inspire, not that I hope I inspire people, but, but God damn it, I do.
You're wearing a sash and a crown.
Yeah, there you go. But I hope, like, people, like, young UCB students, like, coming up through the program and auditioning for Herald can see that, like, four Latinos on Herald Night, but let's audition and go after it and kind of, like, and I love talking about it. I you know, that discussion and being on Herald Night as a Latino has literally opened so many doors for me and has made me more confident as a Latina.
Yeah, absolutely. It is, like, because, like, even what you were saying of being, like, watching shows and being, like, not seeing anybody that looks like you even.
Yeah.
It's like now there is sort of that chance, and I think that alone is, like, so much. Like, I wish there was, like, when I was coming up, like, a Ryza or a you or, like Oscar or something,
right?
Like, on a team.
Exactly.
So I could be like, oh, like, a homie. Like, that's great.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Someone you see yourself in and think, like, this isn't just a white dude's club.
Yeah.
It's, like, open for all of us.
Yeah.
It's cool.
And I think there's an interesting thing happening right now, sort of like in the indie world, where like there are teams that are specifically like a person of color team, mm-hmm. or this type of ethnicity team, and I think that's really great. But I also wonder, because that never occurred to me.
Yeah.
You're on one,
mm-hmm.
But you're on a lot of teams also. So like, I wonder if there's like being on one was probably very informative, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But is there like, I guess I don't know what my question is, because it never occurred to me to do that. I always just wanted to be good.
Right,
so, like,
exactly.
What do you think are, like, if people are starting all, like, ethnicity X teams or whatever,
sure.
is there something that they should think about, like, I guess just in general? Like, I would say be a good team that is all this versus just a team that's all this, right?
Yeah. And that is always, I think that is that exactly what you said, you know, focus on just being a good team and doing good comedy.
Yeah.
Because then, I mean, that's a beautiful thing to see. When you see, I think of my favorite Geraldo shows that we had, and we barely did improv. But I love Geraldo forever.
Yeah. I mean, that squad's the greatest.
It was the best. And like, a few times we even did like improvised telenovelas, which mm-hmm. is really fun.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of like improvised plays or, you know, genres. So that was, I think there's benefits to both. I think in a perfect world, I would love to see more, just that it's the norm to see like a team of all, you know, diversity, like everyone.
Yes.
That's like the hope. I mean, that's with everything in pop culture. You want to see people of color in romantic comedies and this, and not just like about them being what they are.
Yeah.
But I think there is it's so cool to see like that team. Are they called Gringos or Los Gringos?
They're Gringos, yeah.
It's so cool to see that, or see bilingual teams and like almost like be like, we don't give a fuck if you understand us. Like, we're doing this and it doesn't matter. It's almost like its own, like watching, oh God, I'm going to butcher their name. Improvisos
Peligrosos.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love watching them.
Yeah.
I don't understand what they're saying, but it doesn't matter because it's like improv and comedy in like this purest form. You know, it's like kind of takes you back to basics. Just if you don't speak the language, of just like watching them in their element and the energy. And it kind of reminds me why I love improv.
Yeah.
Because they're just creating something on stage that will never be seen again, but it's there.
Yeah.
So I think there's a benefit to both. And I think it's important. I mean, to me as an improviser, it's important. I love the experience I had on Geraldo, and I'm so glad that I had that because it made me a more confident Latina.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think you need both. It's good to like be out there on teams with, you know.
Because like there is a sort of thing that is like, because there are so few of us in in this system. Let's call it a system, right? So then there are people that are like seeing shows and like being like, oh, like that could be me. Like, and that's and that's good. But then there's also like do you want to be a good improviser? Is that what you're saying, or do you want to be the Latino that's on stage?
Right.
Right now?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, because I think I'm going to assume you'd rather be
a good improviser,
right?
Who is Latino.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think it kind of starts, I don't know if this is getting too heady.
No, let's go.
But I think it starts with, I'm very passionate about this. Maybe I should try to get more involved, but like it starts with like the diversity scholarships and stuff, like having people of color be able to even take the program so that they can hone their skills. And then like I think naturally it'll bleed through the system that we're talking about. And then they will get those spots on the teams because they're able to take classes and they're able to get better.
Yeah,
it's super
important.
Yeah, you need opportunity to be successful.
Yeah.
Talent and opportunity equals success. And I think it's so right.
I love that.
Oprah might have said that.
Oh,
but
man, that's real good.
I am saying it here.
Molto bene.
But I think, I mean, it's so cool. And it's even cool to see the huge, because when I started, I didn't even know that there was a diversity scholarship.
Yeah.
I wish I had known as a 101 student.
Yeah.
Just starting out, I had no idea that existed. So to even know that it's like there and there's like the UCB diversity Facebook group and everything, it's huge. And that's how we're going to change it.
Yeah.
By starting at the center of like, get people of color in classes.
Yeah.
Let's give them this opportunity and then
they'll
be
really,
on teams.
It is really exciting because like,
Yeah.
I remember like even being like in like 101 and being like the diverse person. I'm like, that's crazy. Like it's just crazy. Me. Like it's so wild. But
even with more women, like I think of all my classes and how many dudes there were, like specifically white dudes, of course, but just general like dudes. It's
and
cool
white,
to
we're
see.
Not like coming down on white dudes or anything. They're fine.
They run the world. Let's be honest.
Look, they're the best ones. Okay. Like, they're our favorite.
Oh, too real. No, I'm not. But like, you think it's like you would go to shows. That's what you saw on stage. So like, no, of course, white guys are going to take the classes because it's like what you see. Yeah. But it's cool to see it meld. And it's beneficial for white people to be in classes and perform with people that aren't like them.
Yeah. To bring in another experience and sort of like a different point of view.
Yeah.
Because like,
I love it.
It's really, I think it's been an interesting, like even just like, this year in general, I've seen so much more of it grow, and I think it was something that, like, when I knew I was going to be sitting down with you, I was like, oh, we got
to
talk about
this,
because it's so exciting. Because me and Ryza talk about it all the time, and, like, she's probably this, where she made you feel like a more confident Latina. Like, she's definitely been like, Matt, you're Mexican and Puerto Rican. Like, you got to step it up.
Yes! I love it. It's true. And to be confident in that and own it and not be afraid to, but
Yeah, because it is, like, it's comforting to then be like, oh, like, I can just, like, be my full self. And, like, that's so good.
Exactly.
I'm so glad we talked about
that. Yeah, me too.
Now I want to ask you, I guess, because you were saying, like, things you, like, what you love in improv is the, like, that it's never going to happen again. Obviously, like, that stuff is great. Like, what is something in improv that you're, like, constantly, like, I guess, what zone do you like to operate in? Like, what is your thing? Like, what is Nina's, like, not brand, but like, do you know what I mean?
No, I get
like,
it, yeah.
Yeah, what are you bringing?
What I feel like I come most alive in improv, I'm a huge mono scene fan.
Yes.
I love slow scenes and real, that start, if, I mean, we've done a few exercises lately in Harold practice where we just do scenes where we don't go for jokes and we just like are like sitting there having real reactions and it ends up being so funny and it's interesting because there are you think like oh if there's no joke if there's no unusual thing then how do you have a game or a pattern but you like you do because so I think I really love performing in a mono scene in something where we can like take our time and feel like I'm really like discovering with my scene partner which I'm learning to do in Harold which is like what I'm focusing on because when I first started out doing improv I was always the weird one and like just like heaping weird upon weird and like when you're in 101 you kill doing that it's great and then you learn like oh how do you sustain this in a scene? How do you sustain this for a second beat? And I used to be really scared of the Harold format, and now I love it. I've fallen in love with it, and I love it so much. But I think, like I love going slow and discovering. And also, I'm kind of just, like, going off topic.
No.
I don't know, just ranting. What I've really learned lately, too, is, like, really loving being the straight man. I was always scared of it because I love laughs. I mean, hello, you know, like everyone, you don't do comedy to like not get laughs.
Yeah.
But discovering that like so many times the straight man is the one that gets all the laughs
because
they're so funny. And so really embracing being an interesting straight man in a scene is something I've like loved.
Well, I was going to even say like even on just like even to like speak to your experience on Zuzu.
Yeah.
I feel like everybody on Zuzu can occupy either space so well.
Oh,
like you have some of the like weirdest weirdos like ever. But then you also have like those same weirdos can be some of the best straight men like on like Harold Night. And it's so great to watch.
It is. And it's great to learn from because that was like when I first got on, Susie Barrett was our coach who was she's incredible.
She's I call her a touched person because she does not operate in a human
She's otherworldly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. She's very special.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
And she was the one that was like, you don't be afraid to be the straight man. And that thing of like how we were talking about how like I kind of just like tumble out information, like those honest reactions can really work as the straight man and like embrace that. So that's something I've really loved lately is exploring how to be an interesting straight man with an emotional reaction.
Yeah.
And just like I love doing scenes where like whenever someone's like, okay, in this exercise, we're going to just don't go for the joke and try not to be funny and just be maybe that's because it takes the pressure off.
Yeah. Like, oh, then I can just do it and like not worry.
Yeah. But like I love I mean, I had spent most of my life in acting school, and like I came out here to be an actor. So it kind of gets to that root of like touching into that like thing. I think when I first started doing improv, it was like I tried to be like joke, joke, joke. I'm above the scene, wink. Yeah. Like, look how funny I am. And you forget that like, no, it is performing. And like, and I kind of like love that about it and let myself kind of fall back in love with improv. Because I think anyone that does improv gets burnt out, you know, and you're like, oh, what the hell am I doing? Like, why am I even doing this?
Yeah,
it's gone. And that's the other thing. Like, the beauty about improv and the magic about it is that, yeah, it's not there anymore, which is great when you have a shitty show, and it sucks when you have a good show.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I could do that. I could do that show the rest of my life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But like falling in love with improv in a way that's like just like communicating with my scene partner in a human way and like getting to like the reality of the scene allows you to almost be weirder with it.
Absolutely. And then I guess because, yeah, I mean, you guys have been a team for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Is there anything different? Because I'm on DiCaprio. Mm. We've been on a year. Has there been a difference in year one versus year two in terms of like what you guys are working on as a team? You had one swap out, right? You had Sean this year. You had Frank last year.
Yeah, exactly.
What you guys are working on as a team.
Yeah. I think we're always working towards, when we first became a team, we were like too polite with each other.
Sure.
And then something happened where we were overly like talking over each other.
Uh-huh.
So I think, cause we just get so excited. The thing about that I love being on Zuzu and I feel so freaking lucky to be on it. Like I can't say that enough.
Yeah.
Because it's a team where I love performing with those people. And I think we all love performing with each other. So we get so excited that, like, whenever we have a show that's, like, all eight of us, if, like, someone hasn't been there for a while because of work or something, we short circuit and, like, explode.
Yeah.
And we just, like, freak out because we love each other and high energy. But as a team, I think we're really focusing on grounding our scenes in the beginning to allow us to get, you know, to kind of get to that weird spot.
Playing the truth to like earn fiction. Yeah.
And a lot of notes, kind of the thing, it's like, I think we are, it feels weird to talk about your own team like this, but like stuff we get is like charismatic team. Like we can easily, I think, coast through a show and still have a good time and let the audience have a good time without maybe doing the best improv, which is something we're super aware of and trying to like be like, no, like let's not just like coast by on this like Zuzu like
charm.
Charm. It's like learning to be like, it might mean doing an opening where we don't get laughs, but it's like, who cares? You know, like let's like try to like really play good game that can sustain a good show.
Yeah, I would like even because like I mean I just have it in my brain because I just saw it a couple days ago. But that show on Monday, I felt like all the shows, all the beats, even the group games too, had such patient starts.
Mm.
Like, and I think that speaks to what you guys are working on too, just like grounding right away, and then like hitting the gas,
exactly,
like, and just going.
Exactly.
Like,
Sean is great about that. Yeah. I love because like seeing it, you know, build, it's like a snowball and go, and you earn it more, I think. And that's a big thing in improv in general, which is why I love the Herald, because it's interesting. I don't know if you have this experience, but after being on Herald Night and then going and doing like an indie show with your indie team, there have been times when I'm like, what is happening in this scene in an indie set? I'm like, you're not even trying to ground it. Like, it's this weird, like, frustration, but it's like, I miss the structure almost of a Herald.
Yeah, I was saying earlier with Dave that I have I'm a big nerd because I love rules.
Yeah.
One of the things that I love about Herald Night and Herald in general is that they're like it has a structure, it has bones that you can return to.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's good. And then like the indie scene is so large and it's huge right now in particular. And I think there's a lot of it that is good, but then there's a lot of it that is you're having this issue of like, like connecting and also like grounding things and like playing, not correctly, but playing at a level that is like consistent.
Exactly. Yeah. And it just, I think the Herald, I hate that we're just, whatever. I love the Herald
now.
It's like, and we're both on it.
Don't apologize.
Yeah. I think it's like teaches you how to be a good scene partner and make your teammate look really good, which sometimes it's hard. And not to like shit on indie improv at all.
Absolutely.
But
not.
Like, I think what you learn on Herald is like you want your scene partner to look really good. You want them to look good, whether they're the straight man or the unusual, or else you can't do a Herald if you're not like tossing it up to your fellow teammate.
And because there is like, I'll say like, I think you'd probably agree with this. Like in practice, with when you practice with Zuzu, you're practicing for the show, right?
Yeah.
So, but in practice groups that are like for indie teams, like you're practicing this sort of like practice the form or whatever you're doing, but you're not practicing for specifically a show.
Yeah, exactly.
And like that goes, like I always tell teams, like when I coach them, that like practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect.
Yeah.
So like practice like you're going to do a show.
Yeah. Like, that's interesting. Yeah. I like that. Yeah, exactly.
Cause like, I don't know. Cause I think it's not worth it to practice if you're going to phone it in at 11 o'clock on a Monday night or something. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like, do the work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I love that.
But okay. So we're wrapping it up. okay. We got 10. Okay, cool.
Oh, cool.
So now I guess let's talk. I
mean,
let's take our feedback.
I'm gonna order something. I don't know. What do I order?
I don't know. I can't. Exactly. Wow, two improvisers can't come up with a thing to order.
I was going to say coffee, but that's weird.
Yeah. Order a coffee.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, I guess, because I wanted to then ask you, like, advice things, but then we'll save that for the end.
Okay.
What is something that, like, you don't, what's something that I guess even in year two that you're like, oh, this is something that I know that I could be doing a little more.
Yeah.
Like, I want to like sort of like tighten that screw a little bit, you know?
Yep. And I know exactly what it is because it's what I've been working on for the last like 6 months specifically, and have gotten this note of just like choosing a point of view. I do this thing, and what's hard for me in Herald, so I talk about so much how I love it, but the hard thing for me in it is like making a decision. Like, I straddle the line a lot of like, do I think that's weird?
Yeah.
But it's funny. Like, it's almost like not choosing to play straight man or peas in a pod. It's like straddling it. So lately, I've been trying to just like have a point of view, stick to it. If I'm like, no, like that's weird, why is it weird? Like really pressing in as the straight man, or if I'm the unusual person, really leaning into that behavior and that point of view. So like, I'm always trying to just like have a big emotional reaction, or a emotional reaction, you know, and not just like be kind of stagnant up there and really have a point of view as a character, and stick to it. And also be, and when I say stick to it, I don't mean like if I have an idea of a game, like drill it. Like, obviously you have to be like,
you gotta be malleable to a certain degree.
100%. And you have to be open. And if like you discover a game that wasn't what you thought it was going to be, you know, like whatever, or like even premise, I'm saying game, and I don't mean it like you don't really walk out with like knowing what the game is.
Exactly.
You walk out with like an idea of the premise or something. Yeah. So I think just having a perspective and a point of view, which is an interesting thing that only happened when I got on Herald Night, because doing indie shows, I feel like it's, or just doing like a montage, it's so fun and quick and it's
loose.
Like loose. So it was never an issue before until I got on Herald Night, and then I was like, oh God, I'm doing it. Like, it's a hard thing for me to just like.
Yeah, you have to have a sort of like level of consistency, at least in that regard, because it is like a show.
Yeah.
Like, I was not close enough to the mic. I'm a bad.
You're doing
host.
Great. No. Matt, you're doing great.
Zig's mad at me. No, Zig's great.
Yeah.
But okay, this is not about Zig. Enough of Zig. But it is true. There is like a level of like you stress, not stress. You push the emotion. Like, that's something that very important to you specifically as a performer, which I think is good.
Yeah.
Because like that is going to get you so much farther than being like how I started, which was like very detached.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yep. Like you're not in the moment. You're like it's very. Yeah, and like that's something I'm always like, I don't like doing, and find myself doing that. And that's why I love exercises of like emotional exercises, or like I love, my favorite exercise is when you're like assigned like an emotion to respond with or something.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and you're just like playing that emotion because you discover so much from that. Whenever I coach, I always tell people to like, don't just forget that you're in the scene, and like you should have an emotion because you don't know how that's going to inform what the game becomes.
Yeah, I always remind people to be a human being.
Exactly. Like, yeah.
Because like that is just like, you have to.
Yeah.
You feel a million different things all day.
Exactly.
At least if you're some sort of artist type with emotions.
Oh, damn it, I keep hitting this goddamn.
But and I guess like so. I mean, you coach. Is there things that you've noticed in, like, Because it happens to me all the time where I'll see somebody do something that I do, and then I immediately like have the fix for it. I'm like, oh, I should just not. I just told them they can't do it, and I'm doing that all the time.
That's interesting because for a while I was scared of coaching. Yeah. It's that being an imposter is kind of a theme I feel like in my life, or feeling like one. It's like, why am I coaching when I feel like I don't even understand like what I'm doing?
Yeah.
Freaking out. But then my current Herald coach, who's incredible, was like, you should coach more because it'll make you a better performer and more confident. And so I was like, you know what? Fine. So lately I've been like coaching more, and it makes you a better performer because you see things that you do and then you talk about it, exactly what you said, and then you're like, I should be doing that. So I do love, I've started to really love coaching. I was so scared of it for so long, so I was like, they're gonna see through me.
I think that's the thing too, like, 'cause even I've done it like a handful of times this over the year, and it's like, I'm brand new, what the hell do I know? But like, people, it is helpful to like,
it's helpful,
like even just like express something that you see that you also do. Like,
exactly.
So I don't know, it's good to then like take that back and then also maybe help set them on the right path.
Exactly.
Too, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So I found it like incredibly helpful to me as a performer.
So I mean, I guess then let's hit some advice. Like, what's something you wish you got told? Like, I don't know, is that a good question?
Yeah.
Like, early on. Like, what's something that you wish you had known a long time ago? But I guess that's, like, not putting it on the onus of, like, people didn't tell you that or whatever, but, like, something that could have been helpful earlier so that you didn't do it that way.
I think just that, like, game is kind of subjective.
Yeah.
And,
I
was so fortunate to have, like, I've loved every teacher I've ever had and, like, felt like I credit them to, like, why I never gave up improv. You know, it's, like, easy. Like, I mean, they made me feel, like, smart for doing, you know, like, and so I guess just, like, my advice would be, and then getting into advice is, like, trust your instincts and, like, and just watch so much improv, like at the theater. Not like, I'm not saying like hit a bunch of like indie shows, which is like great, sure. But like, when I started watching shows at the theater all the time and like seeing like my comedy heroes perform, like every time I go to like a JV show or Bangarang, it makes me less nervous when I like, even though they're not doing a Herald, it's like, it kind of like you see the way they perform and it's just this really cool headspace it puts you in when you see like greatness and then you're like, I don't know. I think it's just good. I don't even know what about it makes me, like, love it. But I just think it's really important to be watching good. I guess it's like if you want to be a director, watch good movies.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like, read scripts if you want to be a good writer.
Exactly. Like, like study it and, like, ask yourself, like, why do I love the way this one person performs? Like, why am I so captured by them? And then bring that with you, like, when you're performing. Not try to be like them, but, like, you know. I feel like every improviser that I love, I'm like, they're so human and they play it. It's almost like I don't even know they're improvising. It's like they just embody that, and they have confidence. I think also confidence is a huge part of success in improv, is like just being confident that you should be there.
Yeah.
So like watching shows, seeing confident performers helps me be a better performer.
Absolutely.
You know?
And then I guess, because this will be after, this will probably come out after Herald Editions, huh? So, like, decisions will have been made. So I was going to ask you, like, maybe this could be helpful for people that are just getting on then, you know? Like, what advice do you have for, first-year Herald people? Like, what?
Like first-year auditioning or first-year getting on?
First-year getting on, because it'll be after decisions have been made. So, like, let's talk to those guys.
Yeah, I think it's just knowing that you've earned your place there and you belong there, and that you're learning from your teammates and just like trust each other. Like, that's all that I can really think like make successful teams. It's like when you trust each other. And I also think egos don't really have a place on Herald night.
Absolutely.
Which is like something I'm always trying. Everyone wants to be the funny one, of course. You want to be like, you want to have a great show.
Yeah.
But I think what I love, and every time Beth has like done a Herald workshop or anything, my thing I love hearing is like, make your teammate look good.
Yes.
Make them look great.
Each other, not for
you. Which is also what I try to tell people going into auditions. It's like, you want to like be like you know, stand out and be funny. But like, I think going for cheap jokes and making your, because a Herald is an ensemble. Mm-hmm. It's not like a 3-person show. It's like an ensemble. So you have to be a good teammate. And yes, that's, I think, huge. So like, make each other look good.
Yeah.
And leave your ego at the door.
Oh, yeah. Egos, there aren't seats for you at UCB.
There
frankly
are not.
It's sold out. There's not even a wait list for
right.
egos. But Nina, this was a real joy.
So fun.
Thank you so much.
Loved it.
For talking to me. And that was a long form conversation. Tune in next episode when Nina will be your host. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Zig. Thank you, the UCB Theater. Thank you for listening. Oh, man. Guys, oh, Nina, you got anything you want to plug?
Herald Night, baby.
Herald Night, baby.
But you'll be listening to this one. Who knows?
Who? Yeah, wait, you know it. Herald Night, baby.
Just go to Herald Night.
Guys, stay hydrated and yeah. drive safe. That's what yeah. I said at the end of the last one.
I love it. I love it.
You've been listening to the UCB Long Form Conversations podcast on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and review at itunes.com/UCB Comedy. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center. Find cutting-edge comedy videos on YouTube and Vimeo at UCB Comedy. Find our live shows at ucbtheater.com and connect with us on social media at UCB Comedy.
Thanks to the Bronx Brewery, the official house beer of the UCB Comedy Podcast Network, for their support. Visit thebronxbrewery.com for more information on all their craft beer. And be sure to make your next pint a Bronx.